give us a QR code when you buy it. If you have a Disney subscription,
yeah,
then you can do it. And guess what that'll do? It'll actually might drive subscription on top of it. You know, we need more ideas on driving subscription. Let's give away access, and then you can do this, but only if you subscribe to, you know, Disney Plus.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hola, y'all. It's been a minute, Ted, for 166.
I know, 166, and just to give a little programming note, it's going to be another minute for 167.
Well, you guys are going on trip, huh?
That's right. We're going to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
But I heard that you guys were going to have a luau.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into all that, you have a super big beer we might want to talk about. So let me open mine, and then we can get into yours, and we can get into luaus. Oh, you were talking to Frank, I guess, huh?
My neighbor, your father-in-law, Frank, yes.
Yeah. We got to make sure we don't have Ted's secret lover here. So were you, well, you're a James Bond fan, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Who's your favorite Bond?
I liked Pierce Brosnan. I think, you know, he hit it a little late, but he was a good, he was one of my favorites. Who's your favorite?
I would have to go with Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, yes, classic.
When I was a kid, I did enjoy Roger Moore.
See, and Roger Moore was such a campy part of the Bond legacy that, you and I as children watched it and loved it, but it was just so much camp. Like,
oh, it was the worst.
What's the first one? The first one that I ever saw was, I don't even know. It was like Moonraker or something like that, I think.
So what you see there is Moonraker.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I had to. It took a while to get us there, but.
Hey, at least I got it. I got us there, and I didn't even think about it. I didn't even know.
And then it says Some Grass.
Okay.
So this tells me this is going to be like super dank.
Yes. We're in California, so it's legal. It's all right.
It's illegal. Holy hazy. I didn't expect this. Oh, my goodness. Look at this thing. It's like a thing of lemonade. It is.
Nice.
What do we have here? 7% ABV. It's a 16 fluid ounce or so pint. IPA, of course.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know.
And in the words of Sean Connery, you bought a knife to a gunfight with that 7%.
That's right. That's brilliant. Oh, wow.
Citric?
Yeah, it's Citra. It's very like, it's very citrusy. Almost pineapple-y.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's like pineapple in there. This is so weird.
Nice.
Okay, I got to have Clarissa taste this here.
There you go.
And while she's doing that, you have what now tonight?
Okay, so I went to the store today. So we're getting ready to go on vacation. And part of going on vacation was getting the ladies need their nails done, and I needed to go to the dentist. So we're getting all the stuff done.
And you're leaving when?
We're leaving Sunday morning, bright and early.
And what's today? Friday. Oh wow! So you guys are leaving in a couple days.
Today's Friday night. Couple days.
And how long are you going for?
Going for a couple weeks.
2 weeks. How many islands?
2 weeks. Two islands. We're doing the first week in Kauai.
Oh, nice. Kauai is beautiful.
And the second week in Maui. We switched from doing Oahu to Maui.
Smart move.
They had better accommodations. And it was so funny because today was the day we decided to move from Oahu to Maui. And Anne was just on the fence about it because she had done so much planning and so much.
She was married to it.
No, she wasn't married to it at all. Wanted to do the move, but she wanted somebody to like justify it to her and do all.
She needed convincing.
And then a little bit. She just needed like the logic to be exposed, you know. And I said, you know, we're going from a one bedroom suite in Kauai, and then Oahu, the only place we could find within the timeshare parameters, was going to be like an efficiency, like, which is great, you know. And I said, if it was just you and me, we could do it. And it's not a bad thing. It's just different size area. But with the four of us, with two kids, you don't want to be spoiled in this suite space, you know, where people kind of have separation and like a full kitchen and a sitting area and a dining area, you know what I mean? Like, to down to like, you know, 400 square feet, you know, where you're all on top of each other.
Well, you said two words, convincing and logic. I'm going to convince you to open your bottle logic because you're talking way too much.
Okay, let's
do it. We got to get to this beer. I'm like jealous. All right.
So the beer that I got today on the way home from having the ladies get their nail done and my teeth cleaned is a collab between Common Space and Bottle Logic Brewing.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's called Black Cake Barrel Aged Stout, and it's three different beers, three different, what are they, vintages, I guess, the years?
Vintage smacks of...
Oh, no, it's not. It's too winey. This is brewed, barreled, and bottled, so that's the date range. That's why they do it. They say brewed September 2019, barreled October 2019. Bottled March 2021.
Gotcha. So what they did was it took them a month to ferment, and then they aged it in the oak from October to March. So 5 months or so they aged it.
Oh, it needs a vigorous
Holy
pour.
Cow, that's like tar. It's amazing.
And it assaulted the nose as it was coming out. It was amazing.
What was the first hit on the nose? What was the fragrance?
The first hit, you know, and I think it was the name kind of gives it away. It's Black Cake. It's like that dark rum, like very, very rich alcohol hit that you get off rum cake, you know, like a...
Was it aged in rum barrels?
I don't think so. It says barrel aged, and I was just assuming that it was bourbon barrels. And it seemed like it was. It doesn't say. It has all of this information, and yet it doesn't tell you what kind of barrels it's...
I know, I read it. You know, they're telling you about the Play-Doh and... You know, all the gravity and all the various, you know, yeasts.
But it is named appropriately. I don't know if it was in a rum barrel, but it smacks of the spiced rum cake, which is called Black Cake.
Well, what I love is they give you like 95% of the recipe, but they're missing the key ingredient. The amounts of everything.
The type of barrel.
Right? So.
Right. Oh, yeah. You'd have to play around with a lot of chemistry there.
Yeah. You know what I'll bet, though? I bet if you called them up and said, hey, I want to brew this at home, I bet they'd give it to you.
Want to clone it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are two. So Common, I had never heard of Common Space before, but they're out of Hawthorne. And then you and I both love Bottle Logic, and they're out of Anaheim.
Oh, yeah. Bottle Logic's awesome.
So they're Anaheim. They're both right there, you know, Southern LA. So they're right around here. So very, Wonderful. Very lucky. And it is an amazing, sweet, sweet beer.
I love it. I love it. All right. So getting back to your Hawaii thing.
Yes. So Hawaii.
So you guys switched, and now it's Kauai and Maui, and you're going for a week on each island?
Kauai and Maui. That's right. A week on each island. We have the car in Kauai, and then it's more of a resort in Maui, so we can kind of stay on property a little more in Maui and do a couple excursions.
And where in Kauai are you staying? Do you know?
It's the North Shore.
Oh, you're up on North Side. Okay.
It's like Prince something. Prince, I don't know. I'm going to be butchering names for the next 2 weeks. We're trying to pronounce these Hawaiian
Yeah,
names.
Just remember, every vowel is pronounced, or every sound is pronounced. There's no silence or any of that stuff. And I forget, what's the airport? Is it Lihue? Is that on Kauai?
So, yeah. So
is that where you fly into?
Yeah. And Kauai, Lihue. Yeah. And Lihue. Yeah, right. You're right. Every vowel you pronounce. There you go. Lihue.
Yeah, we stayed at, I want to say it was, Clarice, was a Poipu Beach or something? And the south. We were on the South Shore.
Okay.
So one thing I could say about Hawaii, though, and the islands we've been to and such, one thing I can say with certainty is you're always wet. You're wet from the ocean. You're wet from rain. You're wet from sweat. You're, no matter what it is, at any...
Humidity.
That's what I mean. Yeah. At any given point in the day, you are wet. So just get used to being wet.
Right.
And awesome. Yeah. And I mean, the kayaking, the the scuba diving, snorkeling, hiking. I mean, Kauai is awesome. Maui's going to be great. So I'm excited for you guys. That'll be fun.
Bryce, for how many years, like 3 or 4 years, he's been infatuated with getting a GoPro.
Oh, okay.
You know? And he was like, I want a GoPro. And for the past, you know, for the whole rest of his life.
But he has a phone, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't need a GoPro. What do you need a GoPro for?
It does almost the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily his birthday fell right before this trip. And I was like, ugh. Let's get him a GoPro, like, you know, just an older model. You know, we got him a 7 and he was happy with a 7, and there's a 9 out now. So the price wasn't too bad. And
heck, I think I have like a Hero 3 or something.
Exactly. So,
and it still does fine, you know?
Yeah, it still does it. It's, you know, it's Wi-Fi, it has audio, it has all the stuff. And then his aunt got him the harness pack.
Oh, okay.
So he has like the head strap, the body strap, like 50 different stuff things. And then
he'll be zip lining, and
we have snorkel gear. We have our own snorkel gear that has its own mount, so you could put it on top of there. And I got a knockoff one. I got like a $50 underwater like action camera. You know,
well, and I gotta say, I mean, I would much prefer to bring a GoPro snorkeling or diving or whatever than like, you know, a $1,000 phone or something. You know,
exactly. So, yeah,
it's like, oh, it leaked.
A phone that you need for other, like every other thing of your life.
Essentially, it's like a computer with a, you know, the case leaked. Well, there's a couple $100 as opposed to like, oh my God, I can't communicate with the world anymore.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, cool, man. That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah. And then, so the funny part is like, we had a luau booked in Oahu, and then we're on a wait list for a luau in Kauai. And then now that we switched to Maui, the Maui luaus are all booked out for months in advance. So it's like, we're waitlisted there.
It's damn tourists.
But you guys, you're going to a luau while we're away in Hawaii. You'll be in Hawaiian spirit.
Yeah, my next door neighbor, she worked for the airlines, you know, various airlines for her many years as a career. And she did like more management and front desk type stuff. So she wasn't a flight attendant or anything, but she worked like at the station, I guess you want to call it, like the little hub or whatever. And I think it was about 10 years or so, she was, for the various airlines that she worked for, she was stationed in Hawaii on a couple different islands. I think Maui, Kauai, Oahu, you know, she was on a few different islands, like I said, for about 10 years. And that was the last place she worked before she retired. And since retiring, her dad has a ranch in Napomo. I think it's like 15 acres or something. So it's not huge, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's a big piece of property.
Yeah.
And every summer, but for last summer, every summer they have a luau. So Frank and Barbara have been there. For a few luaus. We've been there for a number of luaus. We've been here for about 8 or 9 years already. Mm-hmm. But for the COVID year, last year, they've had their luaus every year. And they do, you know, her dad is a tractor and, you know, he digs out the hole. They bury the pig. They do the whole thing, you know.
It's awesome.
And everybody brings like their favorite dish. And I mean, there's probably about 200, 250 people that come. So it's like,
that's amazing.
It's like family, extended family, friends, friends of friends. Like, you know, we're next door neighbors. And then Clarissa's parents are going. And it's just, this thing just awesome. Grows, you know. And they have volleyball games and horseshoes and cornhole. You know, I mean, so my in-laws are bringing their camper, their pop-up tent trailer, and we're going to sleep the night and stuff. And they have a saloon. So the way the property is set up is pretty cool. Like all the houses are around this saloon, and it's almost like a hub and spoke. And the hub is the saloon. And it really is like an old-timey saloon, you know? And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and they have like longhorn steer and horses. And I mean, it's awesome, you know? And we always have a great time every year. So yeah, that's what we're doing is... And that's a week from tomorrow, so July 24th. So while you guys are in Hawaii, we'll be having our little Yeah, or Hawaiian luau.
In where is it? Where is it? It's like
it's in Napomo. So Napomo is like halfway between here in Lompoc and San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
So probably, I don't know, it's like 30 minutes north of us, I guess. You know, off the 101. So, but yeah, it's a great piece of property.
Did I ever tell you one time I was going to a wedding, what was it, rehearsal dinner or something. And what was the town you just said halfway to San, what?
Napomo? Luis Obispo.
No, San Luis Obispo. So I get in the car and I punch up. I was like, that's so far away. I'll just punch up the town name. And we were supposed to be going to San Juan Capistrano.
Completely the wrong direction.
And I type in San. I was like, it's a San something, something, something. I was like, oh, San Luis Obispo. That sounds like it. And I punched it up, and then Ann saw me punching it up. She goes, why are you punching up the town name? I said, just to get going, you know, on the road. We're, you know, running on time, but I don't want to be late. And she goes, well, here's the invitation. Let's punch it up. I was like, oh, San Juan Capistrano. That's
180 degrees the other way.
But it sounded similar.
There you go.
Anyway.
And heading up the 101, we were in Monterey this past week.
Oh, that's right. How was that? We were excited for you.
We stayed in Pacific Grove.
Okay.
Pacific Grove is like the next town on the peninsula, like heading west, like more towards the ocean, I guess, where the bay is north. And awesome town, completely awesome town. It's like a pre-World War I walkable community and stuff. We stayed in Airbnb.
Nice.
The restaurants were amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, every meal is like over $100, you know? And I mean, it's like, oh, you want bacon and eggs? Here's $100, you know? And so we go to the aquarium and we just walk the whole thing because we were going to take the bus. Bus shows up every 45 minutes and we're squaring up the bill and the bus goes by and Clarissa's like, well, by the time we wait for the bus, we could just walk there, you know?
Ugh.
And the walk wasn't that bad. So we just walked there. We walked around Cannery Row.
Yeah.
We did all that kind of stuff because we had like a 1 o'clock appointment to get in because they're taking appointments at the aquarium.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then we did the aquarium. We walked back. We had like a British pub type dinner and everything. And by the time it was all done, we probably put on about 6 miles or so. My kids are 6 and 8.
I know. That's amazing.
I walked enough to know that my calves were sore for about 4 days after.
Nice.
Mike complained about the last half mile because we didn't realize when we left for the trip, he didn't bring shoes. So
he was walking barefoot for 6 miles?
No, he had like these cheapy little sandals that he wanted to wear. We all had like good walking shoes. And then Mike has these cheapy little sandals that like they were like cardboard. They didn't even bend or anything, you know? So we're like, why are you going to stop complaining? And you look at his feet and you're like, why are you wearing those? Man, that kid was a trooper, man, you know? And then while we were there, we watched... To get to what we're watching really quick, just on a couple of things. Uh-huh. We'll get back to other stuff.
Right.
First night, we watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
Second night, we watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because we're doing it in timeline order.
Okay. Right.
So we're thinking like, oh, we'll just watch, like, they got to have a smart TV. Nope. So we crowded around an 11.9-inch iPad.
Hey, at least you got, you know, at least you have the iPad.
Watching Guardians of the
Better than the phone.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And we were just all like piled on top of each other watching it, man. We just loved it, you know. So I asked the boys, I said, so would you rather watch on the iPad or the 65-inch TV at home? They're like, and Timmy just looks at me and goes, are you kidding? That was his response. But yeah, we stayed at, like I said, Pacific Grove. I mean, beautiful. I got to send you a couple pictures because you know I like my gnomes.
Yeah.
There was this tree stump that had a gnome village all over it.
What?
It was insane. Okay. I totally forgot to, like, I wanted to send it to you before this, but I totally forgot. I will send it and I'll put up some photos on our show notes.
Awesome.
Awesome food everywhere we went. seafood, British food, bangers. I mean, you name it.
This is the first time the boys had been to the aquarium. What was their favorite part of a thing that they did there?
That's a good question. I asked them both what their favorite was, what the worst was, and what they could take or leave.
Right.
I think their favorite was like the big tank with the sharks and stuff, the deep sea feeding. Because there were sea turtles in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love that ugly ass sunfish in there.
Oh, it's amazing.
That big ass ugly sunfish that just doesn't give a shit about anything.
The one thing that I, if I may complain, it was, I've been there about three. This is, that was my fourth time visiting.
Okay.
If I may give a slight complaint, growing up in Chicago and going to Chicago, and I dated a girl who worked at the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. Don't tell Clarissa. But the Shedd Aquarium, I thought, or I feel, is far more educational.
Ah, okay.
So in other words, a couple things. One, they don't give you the scientific name for any of the species.
Mm.
Two, every display is like really cartoony. So it's almost like these little cartoony like drawings and such to kind of depict the animals and the species. And three,
right,
they don't tell you where they're from.
Mm.
So if you see like a little butterfly fish, they don't say, oh, this is from the coral reef of Fiji or something.
Right.
The other thing that the Shedd has, which it ought to because it's right on Lake Michigan, is it has more freshwater stuff, but not just freshwater in the sense of like the Great Lakes, but also like African tropical waters, like the tropical freshwater stuff of the Amazon.
Freshwater around the world, kind of.
Yeah. Like the Amazon, things like that. So Monterey is strictly marine. It's strictly saltwater.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, they're right on. I mean, they're all about their bay and all that stuff. And you know, I get that. And that makes sense. But like I said, they didn't have like the scientific stuff. It wasn't as educational as I would have preferred. And my most, I think the complaint that I have most is the boys wanted to see like a few touch tanks. Okay, there were a few touch tanks.
Right.
It was like, here's all the kelp you want to touch and a sea urchin. Our high school, you know, I work at Cabrillo High School. Our high school has an aquarium and they
have. Oh, you guys have a great aquarium.
Yeah. And they have people from all over the region come for field trips and stuff. Our touch tanks destroyed the Monterey Bay Aquarium touch tanks. I was really disappointed because, and the boy, I could tell the boys were like, and I think that's what they were the most, they were like, wow, those touch tanks weren't anything that I expected.
Right.
Because they've been to the aquarium here, you know, and they're like, I thought they'd be better than the high school.
Yeah, I never thought of that, but I guess you are right about that because, you know, we were members for many years, so we went multiple times. But yeah, the touch tanks were, we did the touch tanks early, and then it was like, I definitely always have to hit one of the feedings at deep sea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I love the splash area, the splash zone.
Where it goes over the glass.
Over you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Their displays. I mean, the way they present everything. I mean, the huge kelp forest.
Yeah.
The deep sea, the open ocean tank.
Tank, yeah.
The otters, of course, you know, are awesome and stuff.
Yeah.
And favorites. Yeah, and they're just cute running around. And
then they have a decent rotational exhibit, which I like. And the last time I was there, the last couple of times, they had one that was jellyfish that was there for a really long time. And they had seahorses, which is there prior to that.
Well, they still have multiple sea jelly things where they have like, it's like really blue and orange and everything. That was really cool. I mean,
right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's that lower level stuff, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful. The other thing that I really enjoyed was as we're walking there, it didn't even occur to me until they said it, and it's like, well, but of course, is whatever happened to the canning industry.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, why did it go away? It never occurred to me that they overfished it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and when you think about it, a 20-year span of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when did 9/11 happen? Let's just say, like 20 years ago, this, like in a couple of months, it's 20 years.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
From the time 9/11 happened to pretty much today, that is how long it took to overfish the entire canning system there. 20 years.
Right. It's amazing. But I mean, like, they devastated there, right? I mean, it was.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, we could fish. Here's this new technology. Kablammo. No fish left in 20 years.
Right. It's like the buffer on your, you're watching, like, I have to scan through some videos at work, you know, and I was like, at working from home, I have to let the buffer fill up, and I can fast forward some stuff, but when I fast forward too much, I hit the buffer and, you know, you're out.
Exactly. I mean, if they stuck with their old technology, I bet there would have been enough fish. The canning industry would still be there.
It's sustainable.
But yeah. The technology allowed them to move at a pace that was slow enough so the sardines and anchovies and such could repopulate and come back and everything. Yeah. And just, it was sustainable. But the technology got to the point where they could just take all. And then it was just over. And like I said, I didn't think about it. And then once they said, once we went through that section about canning and they said, oh, it was just overfished, the light bulb went off. I'm just like, of course that's why it went away. Like, duh.
It's almost like they needed like a rule of 72 somewhere in there.
Exactly. And
somebody needed to be like, all right, we can only, here's our maximum output.
Turn down the throttle a little bit, you know?
Did the boys do any of the canning, the fake canning?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We did all that. And they're pulling like the lever for the horn.
The whistle for the lunch.
The whistle. And yeah, Mike was just like, he kept just like yanking on the whistle.
That's Brycey. Bryce did that. He's like, you can't call for lunch 5 times in 10 minutes.
Right,
you
know? Right. I mean, it was cool. It was cool. And I love, too, at noon, like across Cannery Row, uh-huh. The whole, like, they do blow the whistle, you know? And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, and like I said, I don't mean to say that Monterey Aquarium isn't good or great or anything. I mean, it's completely amazing.
Hey, they could take some notes. Everybody can take notes and do something better, you know?
If the scientific names were there, would I even know what they said? Could I pronounce them? Oh, hell no.
Right.
Right? But you got to give me the scientific name. And you got to tell me where the species are from in the world. So I know to care about these places. Because as far as I know, these are fish in a tank. You know, I got to know that these things come from somewhere, you know, but.
Well, I'm just glad that you drove there instead of biking there because.
And the cool thing was we took Highway 1 back.
Oh, okay. The scenic route.
Yeah. So we took the 101 up. We got there about 3 hours, 15 minutes or something. It's a pretty quick drive.
Right.
And then we took Highway 1 back and we wound up having lunch in Cambria.
7 hours.
No, it was about 4.5, maybe 5.
Okay.
It was because we also did 17-mile drive and all that stuff. And
oh, okay, nice, yeah.
Yeah, because Clarissa never saw that.
So you should have waved to our friends.
What, you have friends who live there?
Yeah, our friends live on 17 Mile.
Get out.
They're friends that they own the house in Los Gatos where we go.
That's the Los Gatos house?
Well, no. So the Los Gatos house is their family home, but then they bought a place on 17 Mile. And,
holy cow.
And built it up. It was actually the property was the property of the developer, not the developer, but the planner, the architect who built Pebble Beach. And he also planned that whole 17 Mile area.
Man, that must be an expensive house.
Well, they, you know, they completely remodeled it, so
even more expensive.
Yes.
But yeah, and you know, the barking seals and the elephant seals and all that stuff. So we got to see them too.
Did you guys pass Pfeiffer Beach and all that?
Oh yeah. Julia Pfeiffer State Park and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, man. So much for talking fishing and Hawaiian luau's and whatever else. Let's hit some trailers, man. So
All right. We got to do some trailers.
So let's start with Encanto because that's kind of on the same point we've been talking. A little bit tropical.
Right.
Musical score, soundtrack, all that stuff. it seems to be amazing. I mean, it is
a Disney movie through and through.
Oh, 100%.
It hits all of like the high notes of a Disney movie. It was weird. It actually struck me as a little bit like Meet the Robinsons. I don't know if you're a fan of Meet the Robinsons. A
little bit. Yeah, I remember a little bit.
But do you remember that? It has that in, of course, this very ethnic, organic feel, you know, like I love the greeting of the familial gathering, you know, and it's just like they don't hit you over the head with the magicalness of the people, even though everyone is magical.
Right. And, you know, the one thing I have to say, though, when they were doing the greeting and the person kept changing to meet the look of the people they were meeting.
Right.
I was a little disappointed in that, though, because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like maybe it plays out different in the movie. I don't know. But I feel like the message it sends to kids is you can't be your authentic self. You have to be what other people are expecting you to be.
Oh, OK.
So then, like, you're changing to meet the expectations of the people coming in.
Yeah, I think maybe if you isolate that one scene, that could be that.
That's why I said, I don't know if it's the movie. I don't know how the movie's going to show it, but that's the vibe I got from the trailer.
But it's more like that's that person's power or special gift or magic. You know, the other person's magically strong and she can pick up a cart by herself. And everyone in this family has magic except for this one girl. And I think it sets up a very important story, important, you know, lesson about the true magic within, you know, and
maybe that's where it goes, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said in the movie, I'm sure it plays out and kind of like explains that away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watching the trailer, I felt like, oh, you can't be you. You have to be what other people expect you to be or something, you know? And I don't know. It's like, maybe that's me coming out and like that upsets me when people, you know, I expect me to be one thing and I'm really another, or I don't know.
Right.
It's my baggage, Ted. It's my baggage.
I'm not a school psychologist. I'm a biker first. I'm a cyclist first.
Well, and then, you know, the legacy music of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you go wrong with that?
No. And his name flashes on screen and
briefly,
even though you kind of had a hint that it's him, if you like his music and his musicals, then the minute his name flashes on the screen, then you really groove into the idea of it. Like, okay, I get the Lin-Manuel angle.
Sure.
And let's hope he has like a standout song in this, because we know that's what you need in a musical.
It's Disney. They always have a standout song.
They have a few. They have a few, you know, that we have some Disney critics, you know, that sometimes they don't always have a standout song. But yeah. So, and, you know, and Lin-Manuel had In the Heights, which, again, like I said it when we were talking about watching it, that it doesn't have that one standout song. And I think that was its greatest downfall. And then I read some actual critics complaining about the same thing. I was like, oh, look, see, I know what I'm talking about a little bit there.
So are you saying that the Disney critics are expecting like a major standout, well, if you want to call it a standout song, a major standout song for every movie that's released? Is that what you mean when you say critics?
Yeah, I think every movie that showcases music needs a standout song to put it on the map, to keep it
like the showcase.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the one example, this critic, and I don't know the article because Audrey was reading the article to me, but the one thing that they used as the example was The Greatest Showman. And he was saying The Greatest Showman is, by his recommendation, was not a great movie. And I love the movie. I thought it was a great movie. But it has the one song in it that is the anthem song. You know, you need the anthem song to hang your hat on.
Exactly. Right.
To get people in the room, in the groove. And then, so, you know, I think this has the inklings of it. It has a feel. It has a vibe. It's like, can it capitalize on having a standout song? So we'll see about that.
I would assume we'll probably watch it because the boys are going to want to watch something, you know, like when it pops up on Disney Plus or whatever. If I didn't have kids, I probably wouldn't be watching this. This wouldn't be in my wheelhouse. So I think it just speaks to, you know, the 15 and younger crowd, and maybe not even 15. You'll have to ask your daughter. So, but I think this hits.
She's into it. She's into it. Okay. She likes it. She's a big Lin-Manuel fan. So that's part of the reason that she reads about his critical acclaim and critics and all that stuff. So,
but I see this right in Bryce's wheelhouse, though.
Yeah, Bryce. I think he kind of identifies with this underdog mentality and this person who's underachieving within an overachieving family. And I'm like, no, they're totally not. You know, like
he's not in the shadow of his big sister, is he?
I don't think he does that. He doesn't do that. Okay, good. I think if they're both boys or both girls, there'd be more problems, you know. But you know, having the gender difference is at least enough to buffer, and then the age gap is enough as well. But so would you spend the $30 on this to do the premium access? I don't know if it's premium access. I don't know if it's theaters only.
Would I spend $30? The way I would answer that question is probably not.
Because the boys don't know any different, and it's not like they're clamoring for it, you know, and there's enough stuff to watch.
Well, for two reasons. Yeah, exactly what you said there. If it was something that, like, they're just like, oh my God, like, you know, whatever they're into is coming out, and like, if we don't watch this the day it comes out, my life, my childhood will be ruined, then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, there is so much that we're like, we have like lined up in the queue.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's like, by the time I get to this, it's not gonna, it's, you know, and like you always say, you either watch it on day one to make sure you get the most, or the closer you get to when it becomes free,
right?
Every day closer, it has less value.
Diminishing value.
Yeah, diminishing value, exactly.
And I will say, like, Bryce, for his birthday last weekend, he wanted to see Black Widow in the theater because we could actually see it in the theater. And Black Widow killed it in the theater, you know? Like, I was pulling up Box Office Mojo, and I was like, oh, look at Black Widow in the theater. And Audrey, like, from the chair in the corner, she starts rattling off the weekend numbers. And I was like, why? She's like, you're welcome. And she hit me with like all the domestic and international and then the full box office to date. And I was like, why do you know that off the top of your head? You're crazy. But it actually had like a real box office. It was the first real box office post COVID.
It did have a good box office because I read an article a couple days ago about how they were just ripping Black Widow to shreds.
Oh, I loved it.
Not the movie itself.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like, why release it now? Why make the movie at all, kind of a thing? And just ripping the character of Black Widow,
uh-huh,
and just saying like too little too late, like, you know, you should have done this like years ago.
Right.
And why is it now Black Widow's coming out when you're phasing out the whole Marvel like phase of those original characters and moving into other stuff?
I watched it as the perfect send-off, the perfect capper to this big body of work. You know, all the phases are, you know, I think we're in phase four, or we're cusping between phase four and phase five. But even though they're four phases of the past 10 plus years, it's really a one monolithic group.
Of course, yeah.
That's, you know, that's grown and come together and ended with Infinity War, ended with Endgame, but it still has to play out some of the characters. And I think it could have come out last year. You know, if COVID didn't happen, it would have come out last year. It would have been better.
Well, this was claiming like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, sure. I mean, cool. 5 years ago. Was it, you know, would that have happened? You know, that was pre Me Too. Like,
right.
Was Hollywood even ready for that? You know, was Hollywood wasn't woke enough for that. But I think the thing I liked about Black Widow is that it just held true to the movies that we've been watching for the past decade.
Or still watching.
Yeah, you're still watching it over and over again, you know, and kind of get through the Guardian stuff now. And I think it is a nice capper to it, as, you know, we're sitting in the IMAX theater, because I was like, if we're going to go to the theater, let's see it in IMAX, you know, let's see it as big as we can have it projected, and let's sit through all the trailers. And, you know, I went with, another family, and
as a trailer junkie, you better.
I know.
It's your job.
And they're looking at their watch because we're watching 20 minutes of trailers, and he's like, look at his watch. And I was like, come on, it's trailers.
Hey, I'm not paying you to not sit through trailers.
But here's my thought, and here's my little constructive criticism. Let's figure out a way to say, like, I went to the movie theaters and I spent $80 on my family. Oh, and that's not even including concessions. So I spent over $100 on the family. It's all right. It's Bryce's birthday. Fine. Whatever. And then I got home and Bryce is like, I want to see it again. And I was like, yeah, me too, buddy. But I'm not popping another $30 on it. You know what I mean? You know?
I'll give you like a QR code or something.
Give us a QR code when you buy it. If you have a Disney subscription,
yeah,
then you can do it. And guess what that'll do? It'll actually might drive subscription on top of it. You know, we need more ideas on driving subscription. Let's give away access, and then you can do this, but only if you subscribe to, you know, Disney Plus.
So in other words, you go to the theater.
Uh-huh.
You get Black Widow. You get your ticket. You bring your ticket home. You either A, scan it with your phone. You type in the number. You do, you know, whatever the
some proof of purchase. Yeah.
Proof of purchase. You need code to you matched with your subscription. Bam. You could watch it. You know, like you essentially unlock it. I love that idea because, you know, here's the thing. I'm sitting here saying like $30 is too much. Sitting at home, it's been out for however long, you know, every day it's out, it's a diminishing return until it's free, let's say, whatever, right?
Right.
I go to the show, I spend $100.
Yeah.
It's $70 more than what I would have spent at home. But.
And you get to watch it as many times as you want.
But check it out though.
Now
but.
And yeah.
It's a night out. It's a family time. It's, you know, maybe there's dinner involved. Like we spend $250, let's say, because of dinner and everything. Like,
yep.
You know, whatever.
You were there. You must have been there.
Exactly. No, but then like you make that investment in a sense. You get to come home and it's like, that was so amazing. I want to watch that again. Bam. Like you said, you scan it with your phone, you log in the number to your, whatever it is, you unlock it, and then you just have it because of that proof of purchase at the theater. And you're driving butts in the seats at the theater.
Right.
Because that's what they need to get going, and that's a good incentive to do that.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to more of what we're watching, let's talk about Turning Red.
Yes.
So you seem to be red with anger that you couldn't watch it when you got, or at least Bryce was, that he couldn't watch it again, huh? But have you ever seen the stuffed animals people make with like baby teeth?
Oh, yes. It's awful.
Isn't that the worst? That's what this that's what the poster reminds me of.
Oh, it's a little too creepy for you, huh?
Creep factor 9.
I the thing that I liked about this was I didn't get creepy. I don't know. Maybe it's the poster more than the action. But what I liked about the teaser trailer here was that it was more of a lift, don't you think? It was more of like a clip of the movie.
Yeah, it was. I mean, she's in class and the helicopter mom's outside, whatever she's doing. I think I see a few of those parents around campus. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it was more of just it was kind of like, yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it just takes out like a 1 minute segment and just plays it for you.
And it was like the building of the tension within the scene in the movie was so perfect and so well manicured, you know, that could be plucked out and it plays out perfectly as a teaser trailer, you know? So it's like, we don't have to know too much about the family. Like you said, the helicopter mom, the girl that kind of has anxiety about the helicopter mom, you know, and then she poofs.
And her anxiety poofs her. Yeah. Into this
poofs into
fox.
Huge
fox, I guess. I don't know. It's a fox, I'm assuming, right?
It's a red panda.
A red panda?
It's like a, yeah.
I thought it was a red fox. I don't know.
That's a comedian, isn't it?
Red fox.
But yeah, so I think, you know, it's another, so this is a Pixar movie. So we'll see this again. This is in the umbrella of Disney. So So again, you know, you're going to have the brand, the legacy sale of the producing company is almost just all you need. Like you could say Pixar and you don't need to say, you know, from the people that brought you Toy Story.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, or any of the other movies.
Your legacy is Pixar.
Your legacy is just the name Disney, you know, dot Pixar, you know.
It's like from the people that brought you Snow White. You know, going back to from the people that brought you Steamboat Willie. You know, go back to the 30s. You're like, wow, really? I don't know. Turning Red. Is this something that you and your family's into? I don't think we're into this.
I think so.
I don't think so.
You're not into it? I've seen a lot of Asian inspired animation.
Is this Asian?
This is Asian. It's an Asian. I think it's, you know, let me confirm. I think it's from the people who brought us Bao. Do you remember Bao?
No.
The little short.
B-O-A or B-A-O? Or?
B-A-O. It's a little short about a mother.
Yes.
That, you know, yeah.
I do remember. Yeah, they used to play that short before movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And the girl who made it won like some awards and stuff on like short film. Yeah.
Exactly.
She won like an Oscar for best short film or something.
It did.
I do remember that.
Exactly. Right.
It was about tea or something, right?
No, it's about these little dumplings.
Dumplings. That's what it was.
And she made her son in a dumpling. And her son grows up and like gets a dent in his head. And she more, you know. And then he turns into like a teenage jerk and brings home like a girl and like leaves her and she's like crying. And then.
So that's who did this?
I think that's the same people. Let me just.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Now I'm excited about it.
So they gave her a
few. The legacy cell.
So it needed a stronger legacy cell.
Yeah. It needed dumplings.
So the next one. It needed Bao, needed from the people, from the creators of Bao.
Oh man.
But I think I've seen that internally somewhere. So we'll be seeing that in marketing.
Yeah, that's very
sure.
Cool. All right, man. So let's finish up with Marvel Studios. What if?
What if?
What if? What do you think? I like, it's coming out August 11th. It's an animated and it rounds out our double theme for tonight. Animation and Disney.
Animation. Disney owns a lot
of
stuff.
Exactly.
and this is a great series. It was a series of comic books. So it has this basis within the comic realm. And it's going to be amazing. As far as trailers, of the three trailers we had this evening, this is the most traditional.
It is, yeah.
You know, because it has like this omnipresent voice who is the watcher. But, you know, it could just be the bodiless voice of, you know, any trailer narrator. You know what I mean? So it kind of has this narrative through line as a trailer, you know, inviting you kind of old movie kind of vibe where it's like, come and see this incredible thing. You know what I mean? It was like Barnum and Bailey.
And is it going to be weekly?
I don't know. It seems like it's going to be weekly, limited weekly.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be weekly.
But I don't know. I'm interested to see how they weave the stories or whether we're going to see like Agent Carter as Captain America in 1 week. Is it going to be anthology weeks where we're just showing like the one story? What if Iron Man was a zombie, you know, or something, you know, like, are they going to weave it together?
Yeah. And the thing about it too is, do you think they need to have the live action movie characters, you know, Chris Hemsworth, for example, his voice, his likeness and stuff in an animated character? I mean, any of them, right? Do you need to have these people in their human form likeness? How else do you describe it? I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's more of an animation style that's more similar to heavy metal. Do you remember heavy metal?
Yes, I do remember heavy metal. That came out in like 84 or something.
Heavy metal was used like a technology, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but where they rotoscoped or they took live action and they took live people doing things and they drew over the live people doing it. And to me, this has a lot of that animation quality where it's like, you know, they use keyframes of live action and then drawn over it to kind of simplify the 2D animation. And it's just some quality 2D animation that just flows like it's live action. So I think it's a stylized choice, and I like it. I like the idea of, you know, something that at least feels like it's drawn, you know, in the world of like my kid, like
of computer animation and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. My kids will watch, you know, my kids watch because I'm watching.
Well, it goes back to like America
baby stuff,
right? The one we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I tried to watch that, by the way. I only got halfway through it, but
oh, I haven't seen, is it any good or?
I liked it. I think I fell asleep. I was just watching it alone in my bed.
Way too late.
With my earbuds in and just like passed out. And I woke up to Anne like grabbing the phone out of my sleeping hand. And I like just flexed it. I was like,
you're like,
are you doing?
No. She goes, what are you? So can we make a wager?
And I was, uh-huh, tell me.
Let's wager like a craft beer or something.
All right.
All right. So I wager that Doorman will make an appearance. What do you think?
All right. I'll take the bet.
Okay. Okay. I mean, more than likely, I'll owe you a craft beer, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Doorman will make an appearance.
Oh, I can't wait to give you a beer because that would be awesome.
It's like open a portal somewhere just once, you know, like that will be amazing. That will be amazing. Doorman.
But speaking of Doorman and portals, do you want to bridge over to what we're watching?
Yeah, let's take the Doorman into what we're watching.
Have you finished Loki or have you been too much traveling?
No, we have not. We're one episode behind. So we did where the planet's blowing up and, you know, so we pretty much saw everything we have not seen this past Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, huge spoilers. So we'll shelf that.
Okay. We'll shelf that one.
What else have you been watching? You said some Guardians of the Galaxy with the boys.
Well, just I'll give a brief quick rundown. So Lego Masters. Okay, there you go. It's just going chunky. Week by week. Tour de France every morning with coffee. Oh, so I'm nice. Up at, you know, I don't get up at like 4 or anything like that, but I watch like the last 50 kilometers or something.
Did you pay for Peacock or no?
No, but I get Peacock.
Because Frank bought Peacock for the month just to get the recap.
Oh, yeah. He did get it. It's like $5 or something. Well, Xfinity gets Peacock. You guys have Spectrum or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So no, we have Peacock. Again, Bad Batch. That's just going. Loki, we talked about that. We have, we're all caught up, but for this past week.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first night at the place, we got back. This was Saturday. We got there. We did dinner. We did some stuff. Went back to the room, watched Guardians of the Galaxy. After the aquarium, dinner, all that stuff, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Right.
A couple nights ago, Age of Ultron.
Okay.
And then last night, Ant-Man.
Nice, nice.
So I totally forgot how, you know how Pena, the Mexican dude, does the stories?
That tells the stories.
I totally forgot that Stan Lee was at the end doing the story. I mean, like, talk about hilarious. That was one of the best Stan Lee cameos I think I've seen yet. I mean, Stanley's had a few good cameos here and there. By far the best cameo. Mm-hmm. By far.
Right, right.
Yeah, so then I think after Ant-Man is Black Widow.
Okay.
Right, in the timeline order. If you.
Oh, okay, you're going to see that.
Yeah, well, we might. I don't know yet.
No.
But Black Widow for the timeline order. And then I think after that is... no, I take that back. I think it's Civil War and then Black Widow.
You're correct. Yes.
Yeah, it's Civil War and then Black Widow, and then I think it might be like Ant-Man 2 or something.
I think Civil War.
That's where Spider-Man shows up.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think it's one of my top favorites. Every time I'm chopping wood, I think of
chopping wood.
Captain America chopping wood with his hands. You know, he rips the wood apart with his hands.
No, that was Ultron.
Was it in Ultron? I thought that was in Civil War.
Yeah, when they go back to the farmhouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, Tony Stark's like, hey, don't touch my pile. And his pile's like, you know, half the size.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those were the four that we watched, four Marvels in the past week. So we've been just like crushing.
Wow, you're really putting in some work.
Oh man, we're crushing the Marvels. The boys are loving it. The Hulk's like just tearing into everything, you know, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, even with Ultron, the floating city,
Sokovia, right?
Yeah. And that's where Wanda makes her debut. And
that's right.
I mean, it's like, how much shit can you blow up? I mean, it's just.
Right.
It gets to the point that you can't keep like destroying the world and have people being on your side.
Right. And I think that's what Civil War is about. Civil War is about the collateral damage.
Right, exactly.
And the fallout from collateral damage. And it's like the direct, what is it? The cause and effect from, you know, Ultron, Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you save everyone the first time. They're grateful. Now, like, whatever you're doing is, like, blowing up everything and just, you know, the Hulk's, like, ripping apart cities. And at some point, you're just like, okay, you got to stop doing this because you're going to lose your audience. So, yeah, that's where we are. How about you? What have you guys been watching?
Well, we had a bittersweet week this week. We muscled through. And we did 3 episodes a day
of Psych
for weeks now of Psych.
Oh boy.
And we finished Psych today at lunch, and we watched the last episode of Psych today for lunch.
How many seasons?
8 seasons.
You finished all 8 seasons?
Finished all 8 seasons.
Wow.
About season 7, Audrey was like, I love Psych and I love watching it every day, but 3 episodes, by the 3rd episode, my eyes are glazed over. I'm crossed. I have to do something else.
And what are they, 30 minutes, 40 minutes? What are
they? They're an hour. They're over 40 minutes. They're 47 minutes, 50 minutes.
Wow. So you're talking like, I mean, you're looking at like 3 hours. Oh my God.
So we started at dinner, and then Bryce and I, like, we'd lobby to get another episode in, and by 10:30, we're finishing.
What do you do? You call the union steward? You know? And what do you mean you lobby?
No, because Anne's like, everybody needs to go to bed, you know? But we watched that last episode, and it's so, like, the last 4 episodes, and the part of the reason that I was like, Audrey, you're going for a sleepover tonight, which means we won't have Psych family night, you know? Like, we got to watch our last one at lunch today. So we did that, and for the last 4 episodes, this is the perfect way when you're talking about how you run a series. You know, a series ends and it's never satisfying, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago with The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Right.
Sopranos, right? Completely unsatisfying. Lost, completely unsatisfying ending. You know, so many Friends, completely unsatisfying. Not Friends. Yeah, Friends and Seinfeld. All of these shows ended.
No, I take that back. I love the last Seinfeld.
Really? This the Good Samaritan laws?
No, when they were in court?
Yeah, and they got thrown in jail for being assholes.
It just showed them for the dickheads that they were all those years. That's exactly right.
Okay, sorry.
I don't
know
why, like, so many people hated it, but I was like, how many seasons Seinfeld run? 10 years or something?
That's what they were. Yeah, 9, 10 years, yeah.
9 years, whatever. 9 years of being just complete asses to like, humanity.
Right.
I loved it. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so Psych has this beautiful story of, you know, a bromance between, you know, Gus and Sean. And then, you know, has a love interest from this junior detective, Juliet, who comes in, and Sean is smitten with her from the beginning. And it culminates in this last episode, in last season. And the last season, like I said, it's done so correctly. They USA basically told the Psych producers, we don't want to renew you for another season or whatever. This will be your last season, or it'll be a shortened season because it only goes 10 episodes and the rest of them were more traditional, you know, 15 to 20 episode seasons. And then the last 10 episodes, they just did the work. They just put in the work, and they did quality shows like they had been. And one of the episodes we were completely confused as to what was going on. But they had some throwaway lines in there about remakes and how, you know, like movies get remade, but nobody ever remakes television. You know, nobody remakes television. They had the Psycho remake, you know, and all of these different people remake movies. But the episode turned out to be a remake of an episode in like season 3 or season 4, except it was a season 8, you know, in their shortened season. And I was like, why are they doing this? Why would you remake that? You know, like, and then the actors come out, and the actors that they use in this remake episode were some of the greatest hit actors from the previous seasons, the previous years. Like Ralph Macchio comes in and he gets to play a character that he was, you know, that he different character than he was playing before. And they basically remade an episode from an early season with like stars, with like people they wanted to use and bring back that they didn't know how to bring back. And they basically got this victory lap of a season where they just put 10 solid shows out and only don't ever watch that standalone because you'll be so lost as to what's going on and it's not cohesive. Right. But as a victory lap of fans that have been watching this for 8 years, or in our case, you know, 6 months.
Right. I'll say, yeah, 8 weeks.
It was perfect because it has all the inside jokes. It has 10 weeks of just like, you know, you're in on every single joke that they put out there. And it's so chock full of inside jokes that you really have to watch it in this cohesive way. And I don't suggest you binge 3 episodes a night because, yeah, some of it is glossing over. But it is an amazing thing that they built.
All right, we'll have to watch some site. And it was on what platform again?
It's on 2. It's on Amazon Prime and on Peacock.
Okay. So we can watch it on Peacock.
So watch it on Amazon. Watch it on Amazon Prime. You don't have Amazon Prime.
No, but we do it. We have Peacock.
Okay, so Peacock, you'll have some commercials, but
okay.
If you have both, watch it on Amazon Prime. If you don't, then
Peacock,
you'll just have some commercials. But it is amazing, and then we have one more episode because they did a Where Are They Now, or they did a little interview episode, so we can't wait to watch that.
Okay, so Where Are They Now? But what year did it come out?
Oh, I don't even know. Oh yeah, no, it was not recent. It was just
no, not the Where Are They Now, but what year was the show released? To make it a Where Are They Now, you follow? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 I know. I don't know the years.
Like early 2000s or something?
Is it early 2000s? I think it was it started in the aughts and then it ran through.
In the aughts.
Through 2006, through 2010, I believe. Let's see.
IMDb, 06 to 14.
06 to 14. All right, there it is.
Yeah.
So the Psych After P Show. That's the unknown episode. Okay. But yeah, so just such a great show. Such a creative.
It was a USA show.
USA show.
Wow.
You know, 8 years? Come on, man. Like, amazing. Amazing. And Dulé Hill, like, he goes in one episode, he goes to City Hall and he's smitten with City Hall. He goes, and he's talking to Sean. He goes, Sean, this is like government. This is like where the real things are made and real. And at the end, he says, sorry. What's the name of his character in West Wing? And he says sorry to the fictitious character in West Wing that he played for all the years prior. And it's just like, I think just the inside jokes, the amount of inside jokes, when they hit their stride in season 3, 4, 5, the writers were being self-referential to other episodes in the past, and it just made it so much richer. And in the very last episode, they, not to give anything away, but if you haven't seen it, you know, it's not giving too much away. but we did it. They go to San Francisco, and he wants to be the police consultant in San Francisco. And Juliet has like this throwaway line where she goes, oh, we already have a person in San Francisco. He's in the kitchen alphabetizing all the cereal boxes. And I was like, that's the Monk throwaway line. Like, they referenced another show without ever doing a crossover. It was great.
That's so funny. Yeah, Monk. That's another USA show.
So that was our big majority of our watching stuff. But also this week we did Bryce. Well, a couple weeks ago, Bryce had his short that he was an actor in for most of the week. So during that shoot, Audrey and I had some daddy-daughter time. And we watched Hold your seat.
I'm holding.
Fight Club.
Really?
It holds up amazingly.
Dude, so. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Everybody knows the joke about you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
Right, right.
But Audrey was blown away by it.
Really?
And, you know, and no spoilers.
What do you mean no spoilers?
But I was like, just watch the movie.
The movie's been out forever.
No spoilers. Because, no, but this is what I'm saying. She didn't know about the secrets of Fight Club. And I said, see, even though people talk about Fight Club and people talk about the joke about you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, nobody did talk about Fight Club because you were shocked and awed and you didn't know what was going on until it was going on in front of your face.
Did she realize it was like his alter ego?
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't spoiled for her.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing when you think about spoilers, right? Sometimes we say that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, this movie's been out for, you know, like, well, let's go with the obvious one. Luke, I'm your father.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, like, who doesn't know that?
Right.
The kid who was just born and will eventually see the movies doesn't know it. So there are still people who you could spoil it for.
And it's so funny because, like, when my kids saw that, they were like, oh, that's what that meme meant.
Exactly. Yeah, they saw it.
Like, they saw it out of context, and it was still shocking to them, but it wasn't as impactful as when you and I saw it for the first time and we're like, oh my God.
So it's kind of like in Usual Suspects when you finally learn who Kaiser Sose is. Yeah. And he stops limping and you're just
right.
You're just like blown away.
Oh, and you and I were talking about, what were we talking about a couple of weeks ago? We were talking about Homeland.
Oh, Homeland, yeah.
And I know you and I are big Damian Lewis fans. And man, if you don't have Amazon Prime.
What? I could get it.
Billions. Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis facing off in the New York stock market. Paul Giamatti's the DA for the Southern Court of New York City. And Damian Lewis is a hedge fund titan of hedge fund management. And he basically was the sole survivor in a hedge firm that all the partners died in 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Except for him.
Right.
So basically he took this whole 9/11 firm post 9/11 and you know, skyrocketed to the height of the stock market. So, you know, it's just so great to see these two amazing actors with a great supporting cast just go at it, you know, week to week.
So, and Paul Giamatti, though, so he's after him for, like, funny business in the market?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny business in the market. There's also this underlying thing of just like not just saying like, oh, if you've made that much money, then you have to have done something or you've had to have stepped out of line.
Yeah.
But basically he's a DA who just knows how to win. And he's like, I don't take cases unless I'm going to win. And then it gets personal and is like his dad is an old hedge fund, you know, old investment guy. And his dad kind of didn't have.
So he's carrying daddy baggage with him.
He's got daddy baggage. He's got all kinds of baggage. It's amazing. And then the same thing on the other side, like Damian Lewis has like Axe is his name, Axelrod. And he has baggage and there's, you know, it's just beautifully woven, scripted television. And that's my trainer fodder. That's what I get on my,
treadmill
and run to. It's a TV show. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not a movie.
It's got like four seasons. No.
Oh, four seasons.
That's what I'm saying. That's why the intensity that he brought to Homeland, he just brings it. He brings it wherever he goes. You know, the intensity he had in Band of Brothers.
I would say Band of Brothers. Right, right.
I mean, come on. He has an intensity about him.
Such a great actor.
That when he's not speaking, he's acting.
Right.
And he's emoting and he's viscerally communicating to the audience through his look, through his steel eyes. You know what I mean? He knows how to convey the emotions and the story with and without words, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think he's a great actor. All right, man. How'd your beer finish? That beer sounded that you had is amazing. Do you still have some?
I still have some. I actually.
Well, 12%. You better take that slow.
I actually want to bring it into Anne because Anne loves black cake and she hates beer. So I want to have her taste this.
Yeah. Throw it in the fridge for a few minutes.
I think so. But for me, it's another one of those things that, you know, like the bitterness mellows it, but it's an incredibly different thing when it's like this black cake is perfect. The perfect name for this.
Okay.
So I definitely want you to have some and try some. So maybe when we get back together, we'll.
Well, when.
When Doorman shows up, this is the beer I'm sending you.
When Doorman shows up, I get my beer. I get my black cake.
Awesome. How'd yours go?
My beer was, you know, as it went on, it like layered on your palate.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like this, it almost got thick, you know? And It was the way hazy, like the citrusy hazy, like build and build and build. And after a while, it's like, you can only drink so much lemonade, you know, until your mouth is like, you know, you just have this like lemonade layer in your mouth. That's kind of how this was, you know, like the first sips were almost pineapple-y.
Right.
And then it turned into citrusy. And then after a while, it was just like laying on your palate. You know, you're just like, I just got to get through this thing.
There you go. Power through.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. I don't know if I would recommend this one, though. I'm not a huge hazy fan. I didn't expect a hazy. I was like the way I was reading the can and stuff, I thought it was going to be more of just like a dank double IPA or something.
Yeah.
And I could say it was not. Well, it was dank for sure. Uh-huh. But it was more of like a hazy, citrusy dank than a double IPA malty bitter,
right?
You know,
it didn't have that pine
exactly
thing going on.
Yeah, it was more the grapefruity orange peel, orange zest, you know.
And then the same thing, like, I'm so glad that they sell these as singles because I couldn't imagine getting like a 4-pack of this. You'd have to have four people.
I mean, or like one a week or something, you know, like that thing would destroy you. Baby, I got a 6-pack. We ain't leaving till we're heaving. All right, man. On that note.
All right.
Let's call it.
All right. We'll talk to you in August.
Yeah. Have fun on your trip and, you know, aloha.
Aloha.
Nice.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.